Jesus' name. Stand with me, if you will. Go before him in prayer and the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, Lord, yet another time. Father, we've heard the call. Come, gather together. Fulfill my word. Lord Jesus, it's such a privilege, Lord, to have that little part of you inside that guides us, keeps us on that narrow path. We thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name for it. Lord, we look back and take time to look at our lives. We can see, Lord, there's nothing that I earned. I didn't deserve it. But your grace guided me, Father, every step. And I do appreciate it. Pray that you would just bless us tonight as we've gathered together, Lord, with great anticipation. Lord, just bless us. Even the few songs you've laid down, Lord, pray that you would just clear our hearts, our minds. And that way we go back, Lord, that, Father, to all that you've done for us. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord. Just pray that you everything be done to thy glory in your precious name. Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Praise his holy name. You may be seated. Amen. I like to sing in our capstone books tonight. Start on 58. Just a little talk with Jesus. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then let life from heaven fill my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our trouble. Touched me. Has he touched you, saints?
Yes.
Oh, he's wonderful. Shackled by a heavy burden, oh, need the load of guilt. touched me. So wonderful. Amen. Right there beside page 72. When God dips his love. When God dips his pen of love in my heart and writes my soul a message he wants me to know, his spirit all divine killed that sinful soul of mine. Hallelujah. When God, oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, is anyone telling to live in soul? He's the Lord of glory. Amen. Praise the name.
Yeah.
may have something for the King of Kings. Request. Amen. He knows what it is, saints. Amen. Brother Josh, would you like to take a request?
Sometimes say, if I could just have one day with nothing planned to take my time, then I would sit down and let everything go, relax my body and my mind. Well, just remember we're soon going of gold with you through the lovely avenues. Then listen to the angels serenade. Don't it sound so good to you? I'm sure the tears of joy will run down our face when we see the one who saved us by his grace. Oh, let's never lose the vision of our goal. A few more days and we'll be home. We'll be home. See a brother sitting by an apple tree, eating fruit so fresh and sweet. Sister strolling through the meadow green. They're in a place where they're at ease. How can words describe what's waiting up there in that city 1,500 miles square? We'll never have another. Lord, come quickly is my prayer.
That's my prayer.
I want to walk down streets of gold with you through the lovely avenue. the tears of joy will run down our face. When we see the one who saved us by his grace, oh, let's never lose the vision of our goal. A few more days and we'll be home. We'll be home.
Let's stand. Sing, of course, only believe.
Only believe, only believe, all things are possible, only believe.
Evening. Lord, we just thank you for your precious mercy and grace that's overshadowed us and a desire that's brought us here. And Lord, we just humbly ask tonight as we open up these pages and renew our minds, just a few scriptures and quotes, Lord, you've left, that Father, you just stir our hearts and continue, Lord, to help us keep pressing the battle, Lord, and to continue to yield ourselves unto you greater, Lord, that we may be pleasing in all things unto you. We just ask your blessings upon your word, Lord, and ask you to bless our hearts to the receiving, and we'll never fail to see you receive the glory and the honor for it all. In the most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Isn't he wonderful? Amen. I wonder if we could just sing that little chorus before we get into the word. For he's the Lord of glory. Amen.
For he's the
sing it twice. Hallelujah. You know, that's what a praise ought to be in our hearts for truly who he is. Amen. Yeah. While you're still standing, if you would, I'd like to turn over here to Romans, the 12th chapter, and read a very familiar scripture. Just a little thought that's been on my heart. I thought maybe I was going to minister last Sunday evening, and this kind of was on my heart, and then I had a situation happen this week. It kind of added some a little more reality to it for me, and I thought, well, Lord, we'll just speak a few things about it, and hopefully it'll help us. But here in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the very first verse, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated.
Amen.
A little scripture has been read many times, and as I was thinking about it a little bit more, and you know, as he's asking us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, and you get to thinking about a sacrifice, and it's really got no choice and no will, no life of its own. It's give up everything that it has. As we see our precious Lord Jesus, as he became our sacrifice in the natural, as he had to give his body and that blood had to be spilled. And You see him in the garden as he was praying, Lord, if this cup but will pass from me, not my will, but thine be done. Yes. You know, he'd give up all of his own rights and his own will to the life that he had at that point in time. And as I think about this, and as your sister's even sang the song of what's waiting on us, mm-hmm. You know, are we truly, and we see we've been called for a purpose and chosen. The scriptures tell us in many different places, Jesus speaking and then Paul expounding upon it. And as we see the day and the time we're living, have we truly, you know, we sing the little song also, you're all on the altar, you know. And I just kind of wonder if we've truly given ourselves up completely and given ourselves over to the purpose for which we've been sent, and have that in our mind that that's why I'm here, not to live and to be an American citizen or to live like this world or to worry and to fret and to carry on in all of life's troubles, but we've been sent here, we were predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, and by God's grace, there's a predestinated few that there's something striking in their heart as they see this world crumbling and things falling away. It has no bearing to them because their eyes is on the promise that was given. Yes. And you know, if you would, let's turn over here to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I'll kind of go a little backwards from what I had them written down here, but Hebrews 11. And as you think about the different examples we've been given in the Bible and in the scriptures, and through the men of old and just lived and God had purposes for. But in Hebrews 11 and 8, just think about Abraham here as they were singing that song. I was thinking about this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went, but by faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, he was called and God told him to go. You know, he gave up all he could have had around him at that time. He surrendered to follow that call that was there. And you see, we see that happen in his life and in the message leadership. Brother Branham, he typed it beautifully as he talked about Paul and Moses. And just over there on in the 23rd verse, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months from his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But by faith Moses, when he come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, for esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. For by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Yes. And you know, you think about that, and if you put yourself in their shoes just for a moment of realizing the sacrifices that they made as God was leading them and guiding them. Mm-hmm. And for Moses, you know, when you look back into, even in Luke, as Jesus was led up of Satan to be tempted. And look at, as a man, you know, standing there, and Satan offered him all of the kingdoms of the worlds. Yeah. All of this will I give you. All of this will be thine. All of this power is yours if you will but serve me. Bow down and worship me. You know, and we see Jesus pass that test, and here with Moses, when you see what he was, when he realized that there was something there for him, he didn't care that he was the heir to all that was laying around him. He saw something greater was laying out there. And he forsook Egypt. And look at all the stuff that he could have had. Look where he could have been and what he could have gained for himself. But it was something in him laid it all down. And I kind of, you know, as we are now facing our turn, as we go through life, and we come to church 3 times a week, so to speak, and we serve God, but I wonder if this is truly our first love, and we've truly laid ourselves open, that, Lord, it's not my will, but thine be done. I was called for a greater purpose than just, I was born in this world, I came in this world, and like every other human being, I was raised up, went to school, and I've had a job, and I've got a family, and doing all these things. But through that, There was a little bitty voice that screamed out, as kind of thinking of our pastor as he was speaking Sunday morning as he read that little eagle story. There was something that said, you're different. And you've got a higher calling. And this is not for you. You've got to lay it aside. And you know, as we've heard that call, as we've seen this raise up within us, I wonder if we truly have yielded ourselves over fully to that purpose. Do we truly realize with all reality? You know, when Abraham took out through there looking for that city, he was looking for a city. And he searched diligently, day traveling through the land, looking for that promise that was given. And here today we're seeing that same city he was looking for, fixing to come into view. And we see that all the promises that have been laid forth standing before us. But I wonder if we've really truly sacrificed our all to achieve. You know, as Jesus likened it to the parable of the person that found the pearl of great price and went and sold all that he had to obtain. Yeah. And when you think of all of these different examples that's been left for us, it just makes you stop and wonder, am I still entertained by the things the world has to offer me, the life I can have, the prestige, the fame, the wealth, the popularity, whatever I may see in this life that I can have to be looked up to as a someone, you know, as you see people, they spend their whole life trying to achieve different things in life. And my gentleman that I've worked for a long time passed away a couple weeks ago, actually the same week my father did. And you know, he spent his whole life working for a dream that he had. And he gave it his all. He gave up family. He gave up his time with his children. He gave up time with his wife to just seek after this great job, this thing that he was building and the thing he wanted to have in life. And you know, when he died, you could look the length of letters after his name was they got up to read. He had this and he had this and he had this and he had this. And he had stood up before many people and give great speeches. And he had been awarded the Life Achievement Award. All kinds of great things in this natural life that many people respected and looked up to. But you know, he never dedicated his life to the Lord. And at the end of his life, that was his reward. That was all they could say about him. And you know, as we are human, we're all faced with the same thing. And we can go through life and get so focused that it's just we're American citizens, we're living here, we're doing all these things. And we realize in this day and age, it's the great, you know, and I think back as being a child, and I'm not that old, but how much simpler life was when you looked around at the things people had materially. And how it was, you know, everything was just so much more simple, it seemed. People didn't have all of the things we have today. And it just seems like, you know, as you drive up and down the road, and I do a lot of traveling, it's just like you see campers by the thousands in campyards, and people, every house has a camper in the backyard, and every house has a boat, and every house has all of these toys, that we'll call it, of the world. Nothing wrong with that, but what it takes to get that, it takes money. And that becomes the drive of a lot of people, is that force, that drive that's in them to push, to gain, together. I want this, I want that, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. You see it in vehicles, you gotta have the best, and it's gotta be the shiniest, and it's gotta have the this, and it's gotta have that, all the bells and whistles. That's why every day they keep pushing new ones out on the assembly line with so many things in the interior that it's just amazing. But it's that luxury, the human life, making it easy. And that's our easy. But you can think back to the days in Egypt, how easy it would have been for Moses compared to those Israelites out there stomping mud and making those bricks. But he forsook it all. None of it meant anything to him. Houses, land, it didn't matter. He realized there was a purpose. There was something within him that was awakening that this is not for me. And as we go through life, I pray that we're truly focusing and as the Holy Spirit is crying out, get ready, make ready, I'm coming. And we feel that pressure. Are we truly ready to surrender and to give up everything of ourselves, our ambition, our desires, our drives, and what we think we might want or might need? Are we willing to sacrifice it to the purpose for which we've been sent? You know, as you think about it, nothing wrong with having nice homes and nice cars and things to make it get us through life. We must have those things to do our jobs and work. But where's our first love? And where is my longing? And you know, sometimes it shows in how much time we'll put into one thing versus maybe putting something in for the Lord.
Yes,
and you know, it's Brother Branham, he made a quote here. Amen. Let me see if I can. So think about it like this, as he was expressing it concerning a Christian. This was in Faith is Our Victory, preached October 4th, 1958. He said, "It's just about the attitude of people today. I would just call drifters, floaters, and people who join church is just about the same. I've often thought of floating driftwood. A driftwood, it just hangs up in any kind of trash. And that's just about the way the floater does in the church or anywhere. Now you take on a stream like the stream of life and plenty of driftwood hanging up in every trash pile. Yet the boat comes along made out of wood too. But if you notice, the wood is made and shaped out by a master who has built the boat. And not only is it shaped out, but it is guided by a master and is pushed by a power. And we're all made out of the same stuff. It just depends on how your ambitions run. Are you willing to let the master craftsman make out of you that which he could use and that which he could control and that which he could power? If this certain little craft that's been made different and been crafted out by the master's hand should ever stick into some weeds along the shallow waters, there is a power behind it, a little bolt that the master can turn on and push it and out into the deep waters again. And God wants us to mold us and to make us what he wants us to be. But how can we do that, or how can God do that, when we won't ever stand still for him to do it?
Amen.
We want to be our own master, and we want to think our own way of thinking." And as you think about it like that, and then as he goes here, this is in the message, God identifying himself by his characteristics, paragraph 28. Let me get down through here. He says, let me drop down. I just want to really catch this bottom quote, but he was talking about where him and Sister Media, I believe it was, had went to the store and they had saw a woman wearing a dress, and he was talking about how nice that was. And he dropped in here about paragraph 30, and she said, "Well, aren't we Americans?" And I said, "No, we live here. This is our country, and we stay in it. We love it. It's the best nation in the world. But yet we're not Americans." I said, "We are born from above. The Holy Spirit came down and we belong to a kingdom. And it's not of this world." I said, "That's the reason our sisters wear dresses and they wear long hair and they don't wear makeup. See, their characteristics are identifying them as holiness unto the Lord from above. Therefore, we are seeking a kingdom. And we are seeking a king to come and to receive his subjects to his kingdom. And they are identified by their characteristics that their treasures are not of this earth or of this nation. It's of above in glory. Therefore, they look for a city whose builder and maker is God, and they are properly identified." And I was thinking of that as he's expressing that, they're properly identified. And we're properly identified no matter which side we're on. No matter if I'm really, truly seeking to serve the Lord and truly seeking to see his will done in my life, and that everything down here is growing strangely dim and has lost its true value to me, or if this down here has my full attention and has all everything about it that I need and I want, and God has been pushed off to the side. And it shows by the sacrifices that I'm making for which item I'm being properly identified, where my desires and my love lays. And you know, it shows out, it shows forth for all of us as we look through this. It's easy to look back in the scriptures today and see where Abraham's love lied with the things and the purposes, things he chose. We look at Moses and it's easy to see he was identified, properly identified by the choices he made, where his longings lay.
Yes.
And you know,
how today, as we're living in this life, the choices we're making every day are showing where our love's at, where our heart's at, and where our desires are. And it truly, yes, it's wonderful to come to church. It's wonderful to belong to a group of believers and wonderful to come hear the preaching and to hear the saying. But are we being properly identified as a people that's looking for a city? Are we looking for a city to come? Are we looking for that great and final day that's going to end? And this old world's going to fade away and it's going to blend into eternity in a day of perfect peace. A day of no more aches and pains. A day of no more filth and corruption. And just, is that on our minds? Is it in our hearts? Are we looking for that? Or can we not get our focus even in line with it to even think about it? Is it not really becoming real to me? And it's evident if it does, you know, that's why sometimes we won't make the extra little sacrifices maybe to get to church when we could. It's why we don't make the sacrifices to read when we could a little more. Why we don't sacrifice to pray a little more. And to give ourselves over to Jesus Christ because it's not real to us yet. It's still laying out there. It's something we heard, but it hasn't really sunk down into my heart or into your heart or whoever may be listening to me that this, I must have this. This is that great price that I have to have. This is the only thing that matters. And you know, there's been many, we've had many examples, even in our day and time of living, of people that realized that that was all that mattered. Was seeing that they were pleasing to Jesus Christ. And they've lived their life out before us to be a witness. But you know, today is, it's our turn. And it's all about you and me. Not what someone's done in the past. Not what our family's done. Not what our parents has done. Not what our husband or wife has done. But what am I doing today? What's my life speaking forth? And showing forth where my desires lay in this life. Here in the, let's see here. You know, I read this quote a few weeks ago, but I just wanted to read it again in the light with this. It just, the way Brother Brandon was saying it, but this was in that day on Calvary. Preached 925 and 60. And I'll start again about paragraph 86. And Brother Brandon said, someone said, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? He says, you don't live for yourself. You live for others that you might redeem that man. You become sons. And the trouble of it is, the church has forgot they were sons. You're a son. You're taking Christ's place. You're a son. So don't live for yourself. Live for others. Well, Brother Branham, I can live for this brother because he's such a nice man. That's not it. Live for the man who hates you. Live for that person who would kill you if they could. That's what they done to him. They killed him and he died that he might save them. That's eternal life when you... that's in your bosom and you're facing heaven then, but you are sacrificing your own things and give them up like sheep gives up its wool and you look on towards Calvary. I hope this helps get you to a place. That's what the tabernacle, that's what all people has got to do, is find out what you are and what's the purpose. Church isn't going to church just to play music and sing songs. Church is a place where correction, judgment begins at the house of God. And that it's so striking to me as he put all of this together kind of at one point here, that how often we have truly forgotten that this is the house of correction. This is that we're, that is handed down. That's God's provided way. And how often many, many people, because they're not purpose for which they were sent, not real to them, they want to shun that correction and the plan of God out of their life. And it's the same as any other word. It's, there's blessings when we come in. There's judgment when we come in. It's where we stand. God knows what we need. Every little plant that's growing out here today, the rain comes, the sun comes, the winter comes, snow, it doesn't matter. God knows in all the seasons what it needs to keep it growing and maturing to reach the life that it's got to be. And it's the same with us. If we will but just truly give up our will and our thoughts and our ideas and surrender unto Jesus Christ wholly and believe it all open, land before him and say, Lord, I was sent here for your purpose. You called me to this. And if we'll let our minds get off of what everybody else has to say about it, how everybody else feels about it, and just lay open before the Holy Spirit and let God deal with our hearts, You watch God bring forth the increase in your life and bring you to a place that you will be fruitful, and your life will vindicate and show forth that you were sent for a purpose, and you'll be properly identified as one of them that is looking for a city, showing that this is not your home, showing that this isn't your first love, but your eyes have been turned towards heaven and you're looking on things above. For where your heart is, there will your wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And it shows forth many times where our treasure is laying by the things in which we choose and the way we do our living. But he says, judgment begins at the house of God. We must reckon ourselves dead and alive to Christ. And then he made a way we could sacrifice ourselves to his service to follow him. And if we follow him, we'll lead the life that he lived. And that's wonderful, he says. And I just thought I'd share that with you and to put that back. You know, sometimes, even in the way we dress as sisters and the way we comb our hair, the way we do everything, you know, God's word lays out the way it should be done in modesty, and there's the scriptures laying here, the prophet covered it, it's been taught to you. But so many people won't take it that way. And we'll just use this as a type. It's with every word of God. But oftentimes, we get into our own thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with that. I can do this just because this person don't like it, just because that person don't like it, or this person says that. But oftentimes, we don't sacrifice our own ideas and ambitions and lay it open before the Word and ask the Lord to weigh this out with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and show me where I should be. And that's just one item. I just used that it just struck my mind to use as an example. But it can be that way with anything in life. Everything that where God's word has a clear-cut decision, there is voices all through the land. Every day you'll hear somebody, it's got an opinion. Somebody's got an idea. Somebody has thought of something else, a different way. And so it pays for us to go back and to look. You know, even Jesus in the scriptures, when he knew he had to give his life, and it was what God's plan was for him, and he realized that. Look at Peter. He couldn't see it that way. I don't think, Lord, say it, don't say it, it won't be so. You know, it was the people that was gathered around it, and they couldn't see the picture at the time. They didn't realize what he was going through and what was taking place. And sometimes that's the way it is. When God's dealing with your heart, you might be the only one. You might be the only one feeling this way. You might be the only one seeing the problem that's laying ahead of you or seeing what the scripture is calling you to. And the rest, everyone around you might think you're a fanatic. Oh, that don't go for me. I don't need that. But if the Holy Spirit is leading you down that path, everyone else has to fall aside. Yes. And you've got to yield yourself to that. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody couldn't pack up their bags and go with Abraham to look for what God had showed him to go look for. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't do it. It was revealed to Abraham, go. It's out there. This is for you. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it's got to be with each one of us individuals. Mm-hmm. Our pastor can get up and he can preach the word to us and he can show us what God has said. But we can't go just because our pastor is wanting us to go. We can't go just because our pastor is going. It's got to be a revelation to you as an individual that I have been called to this purpose and I've been chosen. Mm-hmm. And it's dealing in my heart to surrender and to give all I have to see that I make that promise. And to see it made manifest in my life. And it's the same way with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If God is dealing with your heart, you may be the only one that's got a draw. You might be the only one sitting there with a pool. You might be the only one that's feeling something working inside of you, saying, I need to get up there. I need to go pray. I need to do this. Everybody else may just be sitting around with their arms folded. There ain't nothing, no feeling a thing. But oh, to be the one to rise up and to say, Lord, this is me that you're calling. It's me you're talking to, Lord, asking me to give you everything I have. Yes. And how we must come to that point that it's an individual affair. I must do what God is drawing and dividing for me to do and lead me to that place that I can stand. Amen. Each one of these. Think of that. Moses walking alone. And all that he did for God was just a stick in his hand. Walked down there with all them swords and spears and obstacles around him that just looked so great. But once he had met that burning bush, there was nothing going to deter him. He knew where his direction laid, and he was willing to give it everything he had. And same with Apostle Paul. He forgot everything he ever knew. He laid it all aside, and it didn't matter. And he surrendered and gave his all to Christ to gain that promise. And oh my, look at this prestige and the fame and the money. Everything he left aside to take his stand, to walk in the seasides and the cities and all that he traveled through. Amen. I had one. This is in the message, why it had to be shepherds. This was preached 12:21-64, paragraph 31. He says, we could stop here and speak of John. We could stop here and speak of Elijah. Nobody knows where Elijah come from. All they know, he just appeared on the scene. The prophets back through the ages, they were nobodies. But God took that and bypassed the ethics of the church and the teachings to make and show that he is God. He takes something that is nothing to do something with it. He shows his wisdom and his Godhead by doing so that he takes nothings. And when he first made man, he just took a ball of clay and made a man out of it, where it was nothing but clay, but he made a man. And God takes the nothings now to do somethings with, and as long as we think we're something, then we cannot be used in the hand of God. Amen. We must forsake all we ever knew or learned. And Brother Branham clears his throat, and he says, like the great St. Paul, he said, he had to forget all he ever learned that he might know Christ. All their schooling, all their teachings and so forth was working out to the worst for them. And it finally denied him. The very schooling that they had had for him to believe turned around and become his most critical enemy and crucified him. Do you know that history repeats itself every so often? It's a noted fact, and it could happen again right by the side of us. And you say, well, if I'd have lived then, well, now, if you want to know what you'd have done then, look at your present state now, and you can see what you would have done then, because it is, certainly is revealing. And as I said, it's showing forth on both sides. Our lives is expressing the crowd we would have been in or where we would be standing today. Not what our life might be, but today our present living is expressing what's most important to me. And where my life is, where my treasure is, what I'm looking for, and is showing forth, have I really give my all to Christ?
Yes.
He says, trained to believe his word, and when his word was vindicated before their very eyes, they denied the word that was made vindication. When God proved what he would do and said what he would do and proved what he would do, then they turned around and called this man an evil spirit, which cursed them all. Think of what had taken place. Think of what had caused them. Their training caused them not to recognize the very word made flesh for their day, the very training that they had in their schools with the very best of teachers. And you say, well, we shouldn't do that today. Their teachers were far supreme to ours today, supreme rather to our teachers, and they failed. They didn't have 960 different organizations as we have today. They had about three. And if three followed, and in the three follow down to three, and none of the three recognized it. It just goes to show what man does is foolishness to God. And now they failed to recognize it, and they do the same thing again today. And by the ways of man's teachings and the word being twisted, we fail to see the life truly being expressed and to see the place that we've been called to. Because of someone, maybe something in the past being pushed aside, so that when the word really comes in hard and it really comes in to show us where we need to be in the hour in which we're living and where we're placed, our mind wants to push it off. It's not here yet. That's for another day. That's not coming. That's got to happen. Many, many people fail to realize that the word that had been prophesied when Jesus came, he was the fulfillment of that. They didn't recognize it. Their eyes were blinded to it because in their own mind they had a different thought process. They failed to read what the word said and to take it the way it was written.
Yes.
And so it is today. Mm-hmm. We need to take God at his word and trust him in the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that as he's renewing our minds and refreshing us and drawing on our hearts.
Yes.
That the day of the Lord is drawing nigh. And don't place it off somewhere else. But today, while there is yet time, let us make certain that our lives are properly identifying where my first love lays, amen, and that I am truly putting my all on the altar for Jesus Christ today, amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. Just a small little thought. Pray, take a little something from it.
Yes, amen.
You know, it's just so precious to see what God is doing in His precious Word. And then when you look around and you see all the people and the situations in life, and you know, there are so many people in bad situations, and life is happening. You know, we sit here tonight and the lights are on, the heat's blowing, but somewhere somebody's lost everything they've had within the last 2 weeks, and maybe sitting in a tent on the side of a mountain with a little lantern burning. Yes. People down in Florida today are probably bailing water out of their house, and you know, you see all this taking place around us. And tomorrow, something could happen here that makes our life just like that. Yes. But if we've truly sacrificed our opinions and our ideas to God's precious Word, it won't matter what this life's bring, mm-hmm. but our love for Jesus Christ will carry us through.
Yes.
And you know, when you think about all of that, you think about all the people that are out of work down there. They can't work, they can't make money, they can't buy food. Yes, stuff's coming into them, but their lives have been totally turned upside down. All they thought they might have bought and saved for, all them pretty mountain homes and all the pretty homes by the ocean that have people build and buy, and all, look at what I have. In a moment's time, it's gone.
Yes.
And one of these days, this whole world's going to be gone.
Yes.
But there's going to be a new city. Amen.
Yes.
And by God's grace, I'm going to inhabit it.
Hallelujah.
And may that be the desire of each of our hearts, as Lord, focus my attention away from the things of this world and point me to Jesus Christ solely.
Yes.
That my life would be found properly identified in His precious Word. Amen. Let's all stand if you would.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing a little chorus, "Isn't He Wonderful?"
Yes.
Amen, as our pastor comes.
Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord?
Thinking about many things my brother was saying tonight, but there toward the closing of what he was saying, you know, about how many, you know, about these homes and stuff was destroyed and all the disasters and everything. But it does make me think, and I've thought about it, you know, that isn't it amazing how just one storm can destroy so much? And yet, look how easy to be cleaned off of fire. So easy. People may look at the material things and say, oh, it'll never run this, it'll never get to this, and it won't destroy that. But it'll happen so easy. Just look what water does. It's just amazing. And wind itself. And to think, you know, what two storms now has destroyed. Billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of stuff. And my heart goes out to them. Sorry for him. I just, you know, spatial seed. I pray for Zane McBride down through there. God will bless him, encourage him, and help him. And if there was a way I knew where one of them was at, you know, I would sure help him all I could. But I just don't know anybody down through there. I don't know who the people are. But God knows. So we can pray. Amen. And I have. I prayed for. We're living in those times, the end times, and things will get worse and worse and worse. As I mentioned, I think it was last Sunday. Just think, you know, all them storms that they've done so far, and think what California's going to be going under. It's just, and it's coming. It's very close, you know. That's why we pay to get ready, because Jesus is coming. Amen. Is He coming after you? That's
ask the question.
Amen.
Make sure that you know that he is.
Amen.
Don't you love him? Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer.
Kind Heavenly Father, we are so appreciative that you gave us this evening and the opportunity to gather here, Lord, with saints of like precious faith. And Lord, know that you've been here with us. For Father, you promised you would. And Lord, we know that you've been here with us. And so thankful, Lord, at the peace that you've given us, the joy, Lord, the love for you. All these many things, Lord, are tremendous blessings. And we are so appreciative of that. We're just asking, O Lord, that through all that's going on, we'll be able to understand the times we're in. And Father, it won't be long that you come and take us home. May we be truly loving that and just expecting it and looking for it, Lord. As we said Sunday evening, Lord, that maybe tomorrow morning's the morning. We don't know, Father. We have no way of knowing, but we just know when the signs is close. So we ask that you continue to deal with our hearts, Lord. And Father, just reach down into our lives and just anything that's not what you want it to be. If there's a revelation we need, if there's an understanding we need, or something we need to mend, or something we need chastened up, cleaned up out of our life, please reveal it to us, Lord. That's why we call revelation more than anything else in this life. So we ask that you would help us now. As we part from this little place now, we ask that you would again be with us, keep us safe, and just bring us back to the next appointed time if you should tarry. We ask it in your glorious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Go and praise his wonderful name wherever you go. Amen. Have that joy of love in your heart to him. Singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Don't you love doing that? I do. I'll tell you what, that's something I love to do. Nobody else around, just me. And